familiar passage in Matthew 16. And I just want to try to give you a little piece of it tonight, okay? Just a little piece. There's no way I can get everything tonight. Verse number 1 of Matthew 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. That's as far as I'm going to read for sake of reading. Sake of introduction, I'm talking about the church tonight and what the church is meant to do. Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. He makes that statement after the introduction of whom Peter said that he was. That hinged off of the question that Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And then he said, but whom do you say that I am? There's a difference in what the world says and what religious says and what God's church or His true disciples say? And there should be. And I've thought an awful lot about our mission as the church ever since the revival meeting. What we are supposed to do as the church. What is our mission? What is our work? What is our goal? What efforts do we put forth? Every part of what we are and who we are, why we're here. We're definitely here, saved by God's grace through faith, not to just sit in a building, not to just make bigger buildings, not just to, add to the things that we want to have. And there are things that are necessary. I praise God for a nice place to call the house of God. I truly do. And I think if it belongs to the Lord, it should be the very best that we could possibly do. Wherever it is. But thinking about who we are and who the Lord has saved us to be and what He has taught us to do. I've thought an awful lot about that. You and I are to teach our disciples. We are to teach those beneath us. We are to guide those within our hearing of instruction. When I looked at this chapter and just trying to take a spiritual application, I'll give you the primary application, but I want to also look at a spiritual application as well. The Pharisees, if you'll notice, and the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now, these Pharisees and these Sadducees were the religious people of the days of Jesus. They're a very picture of religious people in every generation, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they're always looking for a sign. They're always looking for something different than what's printed in God's page, than what's printed in the Word. We look for a sign. Listen, church, don't fall into that. Don't fall into what you see on television. I mean that we need to see something with our eyes. We need to God to give us a sign. God's give us everything you and I need. When He raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus said plainly here in this chapter, there'll be no sign given save the sign of the prophet Jonas. What was that? 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, Jesus said he'd be in the heart of the earth. That's the only sign that our Lord gave. An official sign was the sign of the resurrection. He had to be raised from the dead. Amen? If he had not given that, our faith would be vain. Everything we're doing would be vain. If Jesus did not raise from the dead, listen, you and I are a part of the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, now, you know what I'm talking about. Now, there are groups out there that call themselves the church of Jesus Christ, but they don't believe this Bible. I'm talking about God's people, us as Baptists. Amen? And as Bible believers. There are even some Baptists that don't believe this the way they should. But you and I, as Bible believers, amen, believing what God has said in His Word, He has called you and I the church, and He said, this church is built on Christ. He is the rock. He said, upon this rock. He wasn't talking about Peter. He's talking about Himself. He's the chief cornerstone. The Bible makes that clear. Amen. He's the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone. And if any man build upon any other foundation, the Bible said, amen. You talk about a mess. So we know Christ is the stone that the church is built upon. And that church That church, listen, is built upon the truth of God's word. Amen. And it is built upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. Amen. All other religions in the world, they may have something that they say, well, it's the same God. No, it ain't the same God. If it's the same God, then their God would be telling them about his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our God, the true and living God, testifies of his son, Jesus Christ, being raised from the dead. And you and I have that message, the greatest message in the world, the greatest light in the world. They that sat in darkness saw a great light. Amen. And it's just like his gospel of creation. It's God that give light in darkness. Now he talked about them being hypocrites. Like I said, I can't get all of this tonight. But he rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees for their hypocrisies. Because in religion there is hypocrisy, but in truth there is solidity. There is faith. There's a solid foundation. Amen. It's more than just mere belief. It is true faith. A lot of people say they believe. They don't believe right. Amen. A lot of people would say they believe. They don't believe unto salvation. And so he rebuked them for being hypocrites and looking for signs. And he told them about the sign had been given. And he said, take heed, beware of the leaving of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now here's what he's talking about. Their doctrine. If there is one thing that the church, one of the very core things that you and I must do as the church is preach the truth. Preach the truth. Now listen, the Bible here talking, he warned them of the leaving of the scribes and of the Pharisees. Now how am I going to teach my young converts the truth? Am I going to learn everything I can about all these other religions and then display to my young converts all of the faults in those religions? Or do I just take God's word and preach the truth? Amen. And if they'll believe this book, then if they hear something that ain't this book, they'll know it's false. Amen. I think I'll go that avenue. Amen. That's the avenue I believe God would have me and you go. Hey, he said, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. We need to give our disciples doctrine with long suffering. Teach them. Teach them core doctrines. Amen. Things that are necessary for faith. Things that we cannot budge on. Amen. One thing I can't budge on is the blood of Jesus Christ. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And not just any blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. For by the blood of goats and calves, there never was remission. Amen. They just put it off. It just put off from year to year, postponed. But the blood of Christ allowed him as the high priest to sit down. Listen, beware of the leaving of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Do you know that every generation faces false doctrine? Every generation. If the Lord lets another 100 years go on, which I really don't see how it's going to happen, but no man knows the day nor the hour. But I'll tell you what, if me and you dies and goes on to heaven, and 100 if 200 years from now they're going to face false doctrine? They face false doctrine in every generation. Every church age in Revelation face false doctrine. There's always false doctrine. You know why? It's they're trying to mess the minds of our converts. They're trying to mess up the minds of our young people. Mess up the minds of young people that they will not be saved. They try to make God out to be something different than what this Bible has told us that God is. Listen, it's not up to me to try to, I like what one preacher said. It's not my job to try to make God sound pleasable to today's society. My job is to tell today's society about the God of the Bible. That's a God of love. Yes, He is. The same God of love is a God of judgment. And He's a God that people go to hell, amen, if they're not saved. And God, this same God, has done all He can to save sinners. It's not God's will that any should perish. No, it's not God's fault if people go to hell. God sent His best, His only begotten Son, to keep man from going to hell. What they don't want what the church is offering. They want what the Pharisees and the Sadducees offer. They want something different. They want something with a sign. They want something that feels good. Now the Lord told them, He said in verse number 8, which when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O ye of little faith. They didn't understand, His disciples at first did not understand that He was warning them of the doctrine and of the severity of it. They were worried about bread. Oh, He's talking about bread. The leaving of the scribes and the Pharisees, He's talking because we didn't bring no bread. I mean, getting in the mindset of Christ. You and I being on the same page as our Lord. Understanding His will and understanding what He's saying to us. And He told them, oh, ye of little faith. We need to strengthen our faith. We need to strengthen the faith of those converts beneath us. We need to teach them how to serve the Lord. Now that they're saved, what the Lord wants from their life. How do they get stronger in their faith? What does the Lord ask of them now that they're saved? They have enough faith to believe. They have enough faith to follow the Lord. Amen. It just takes faith as a grain of a mustard seed to move a mountain, Jesus said. And so if you've got a little faith, and every man's got a measure of faith, the Lord gave it to us. But we need to strengthen that faith. Oh, ye of little faith needs to become big faith. Great faith. Amen? We need to strengthen their faith. And there's nothing going to strengthen their faith anymore than teaching them this book. Than getting them grounded in the truth. Grounded in the doctrines of the Word of God. If a person can believe that in their heart, this is the will of God for me to believe and to live by this book. That'll strengthen their faith. Amen? You won't have to get people to quit living worldly if they see what's in that book. You won't have to beg people to live holy if you can teach them what's in this book. They'll start living holy. Amen? Now, he said, do you not yet understand, neither remember? And he reminded them of the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and the 5 loaves of the 5,000. In other words, he reminded them of things God did in the days gone by. The examples he had already given them. And church, listen, you and I need to be a constant reminder to them of the things God has already done for us. Remind them, don't you remember what God has done? I mean, remember that God told us He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt by a strong hand. He can deliver them, He can deliver us. If He can supply their need in the wilderness, prepare a table for them in the wilderness, He can prepare a table for us in this day and time. Don't you remember what God has done? And so we need to constant, that's encouragement, to remind them. We are creatures that need to be reminded. That's why we need revival constantly, because we need to be reminded constantly. Reminded again. Amen. And I'm guilty. God reminded me again during our revival meeting how He's able to do. What He's able to do. Just how fast He can do it. Boy, that helps me, I'm telling you. Just how quick God can move in on a scene and change things in somebody's life. If they'll let Him, if they'll yield to Him, and if you've let Him, if you've come to Him, if you've asked Him to come in, you gave your life to Him. You're His now. Now you need to learn how to live for Him. Amen. Now you need to learn how to please that one that reached down and saved you from hell. Don't you think He's worthy? He saved you from hell, washed your sins away, took that great burden off of you. Is He not worthy? Sure He's worthy. Now He goes on down and He says after that, then understood in verse 12, they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, it clicked. They got it. He's not talking about bread. He's talking about their lies, their doctrine. They understood it. Why did they understand it? Because Jesus reminded them of what God had done in the past. Jesus strengthened their faith. And He told them plainly, it's not about physical bread. Because I can do that. I'm not worried about you bringing bread. I can make bread for 5,000. I can make bread for 4,000 out of hardly nothing. Amen. He can make a world in a universe from nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means there was absolutely nothing there until God created it. There wasn't even H2O. There was no such thing as oxygen. No such thing as hydrogen. There were no atoms. Amen? The things on the micro schedule or even sub-micro schedule, if you can get below micro, I mean that man's been able to detect, it was not there until God said, let there be. And there was. He made it. He spoke it into existence by the word of His mouth. Now don't you think if He's got a few loaves of bread already in His hand, listen, He could have fed that 5,000 even if there hadn't been no bread there. Let me go home. But they finally got it. if you keep teaching them. Keep teaching them at the Bible Institute. You keep the basics. Don't try to give them nothing new. I mean, take what is absolutely necessary for the grounding of their faith and go over it and go over it and go over it and go over it. Amen? Remind them what the church is. Amen? What preaching is, what the book is, what repentance is and what faith is and what the cross of Christ is. And what his blood is and what the resurrection is and that he's coming again. Amen. That's right. And go over it again and go over it again and again and again. And they'll get it. And I know that. And you know why? Because when God first called me to preach, I couldn't have. Brother June, Sister July, I couldn't have told you the message from Jesus going into the garden and making his way to the cross. I couldn't have told you the things that happened when God called me to preach. That's how ignorant scripturally I was. And the Holy Spirit said, start in Matthew and read the New Testament. When you're done, read it again. And when you get done again, read it again. And read it again. And that's all I did when I was a young convert, newly called to preach from Matthew to Revelation, over and over, over and over, over and over. And it began to sink in. And it began to excite me. And I began to tie things together. Hey, I've seen that before. Hey, there's another scripture over here. Go good with that. Amen. Hey, something else over here in the book of John. Amen. Would go hand in hand with that right there. Amen. And it begins to stir you. God speaks to you. And you get it. They'll get it eventually. I went 30 minutes. I only meant to go 15. Really, I did. Let me close. This is the best part. Jesus came to him and he asked Philip and the disciples, said, who in verse 13, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And who's everybody saying that I am? They've seen him do all these miracles. They've heard his word. Who do they say that I am? Some say thou art John the Baptist. Now, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Some, Elias. And others, Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. I'm not so sure about that last one. Because there's a lot of prophets, even false prophets. There's a lot of people had a lot of different ideas about who he was. That lets me know one thing. They wasn't really seeing him the way they needed to see him. Either they wasn't paying no attention. Most of them weren't. Most of them were just there for the loaves and fishes. Most of them were there for the bread. What did he say? I'm so hungry. I'm just waiting for the bread that he's going to make. Didn't he say he's going to make some more bread? And are we going to see a miracle again today? Not a bit more paying attention to what he's really saying and who he really is. But he said to Peter, Or he said unto them in verse 15, but whom say ye that I am? The ones that have been with him closely. The ones that had been right with him. There's no denying it. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you realize who you're following, you really realize who he is. Who do men say, I, the Son of Man, this man that's walking in body? Peter recognized that he's more than a man. He's the God-man. He's the Son of God. He's the virgin-born of Isaiah. We know exactly who he is. When you begin to really see him, then, church, well, listen, when we really see who it is that we serve, we will reverence him. There's times he puts me in awe of his glory. There's times I just can't imagine just how big that he is. I was thinking about the Trinity the other day and the God we serve, and the thought crossed my mind. I'm still trying to, like I said, it's bigger than my mind can comprehend. I thought, I was made in his image. Maybe I could get a picture. Now I'm three parts. You're three parts. Body, soul, spirit. But yet our one God, and I can't do this. He can show himself in three parts at the same time. I can't do that. And each part is as much God as the other part. And one part was made flesh and dwelt among us, while the other parts remained in heaven. And then while one part remained in heaven, another part came down in the form of a dove and testified of the other part that had come in the form of a man and lit on his shoulder. And then the one part that remained in heaven spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's hard for me to explain, Brother Mike. I'm telling you, this, our God, he's bigger than you can try to, you can't put him in a box. When you realize who he is, he's the Christ. Praise God. Church, we have to tell people about him. We've got more than just religion. We have more than what the Pharisees and Sadducees have. And we need to teach our children, teach our disciples, mold them by this book. Not by my personal feeling, but by this book. Amen. I want you to stand. I'm done.